Welcome, all you liars, infidels, and fools. My name is Haley.
And my name's Brandy. And we are Easy Killer.
Easy Killer.
Easy Killer.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how y'all doing?
What's going on? It's been a week.
It has been, right? Has it been that long?
Yeah, I guess since we last recorded, it's been a week.
Oh yeah, yeah. Every week, you guys be expecting it.
I had a whole birthday and shit.
Yeah, Haley had a birthday. Happy birthday to Haley! This is her birthday special.
My birthday special. Yeah, because I didn't have to fucking do any research this week. So Brandy's telling us a story tonight, and I'm super excited about it because it's a gruesome one.
It is a crazy story, and I'm going to just say ahead of time, warning.
A lot of fucking triggering.
This is a lot of triggering. It has everything that
this is going to check all your trigger boxes.
It sure is, like, very brutal, very disturbing, child murder, strong violence. Viewer discretion is advised. All right, so tonight we're taking a look back at a crime that happened in Ina, Illinois on November 18th, 1987. Ina. Yes, Ina.
How it's pronounced? It's not Ina?
No, it's Ina.
Ina.
Okay. Now you got me think double guessing, but I'm pretty sure.
I'm sorry, you know me.
So, this crime happened back in 1987, November 18th to be exact. And like I said, it's very brutal, very gruesome, and viewer discretion is advised. So, we're going to be talking about Keith Dardine and Elaine Dardine. Their real names were Russell Keith Dardine, and he was 29, and Ruby Elaine Dardine. But they went by their actual middle names, both
Ruby,
of them.
I used to have a rat named Ruby. And my grandma's name, her middle name was Elaine.
Ruby the Rat.
Ruby Elaine. That's so pretty. I have to name like a kid that or something.
So Keith and Elaine Dardine was active members of their church. Keith was actually from Mount Carmel, Illinois, which was an hour away from Ina. And they ended up moving from Mount Carmel because they were high school sweethearts. And they end up moving to Ina and got them a trailer in Ina in 1986. Keith worked at the Wren Lake Water Conservatory, and Elaine, she worked at Staples. When she got in Ina, she found her a job in town that, you know, that she could work with. They also had a 2-year-old son named Peter Dardine, and it was said that they were just basically your normal, everyday, you know, small town. And when I say small town, Ina is smallest of the small. The town is only 2.4 miles long.
Huh.
So, it's a little-ass town. And you know little-ass towns, they know everything.
They always have some of the craziest types of crime sometimes, too.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah, the population, I just looked it up. The population as of 2010, which was 10 years ago, but it was only 2,338.
Yeah, it's a small area. So they decided to rent a trailer from a young farming couple and, you know, kind of just live their life. Of course, Elaine had that job at Staples. It was in Mount Vernon. And that's kind of like in Jefferson. And what's crazy is it's the Jefferson County there also. Like how we have Jefferson County here, they had Jefferson County there.
There's a lot of Jefferson counties.
They had a little beige trailer, one bedroom. Nice trailer with a little swing.
Only one bedroom?
Yeah, with a little swing set in the front. Because you got to think it was only them two. And in their free time, they was in a musical ensemble at their church.
You mean before they had kids, my bad.
Oh, yeah. Well, they had Peter, but he was only two.
Right.
At this point. And they was at in a local musical ensemble with church, and Keith was a very talented singer, they said. And Elaine played the piano. So they're fucking talented all together. In 1987, she found out she was pregnant again for the second time. And I'm going to just tell you, Keith was like one of those guys that were very frugal. Like he said, they were freaking obsessed with putting money in their kids. college fund.
Oh, at in two. The college fund. Okay.
And I mean, their kid was 2 years old and they was obsessed. And he would like buy Cokes at the store and go to work and resell them. And then every bit of money they ever made extra or had over, it went into the college fund. Like, everybody knew them as the type of people that was.
I always felt like college funds were a myth.
Yeah.
I mean, at least in my world. I don't think I ever had one.
No, I didn't. I was just hoping.
If I did, it was gone by the time I got to college. So
when she found out she was pregnant, she wanted to, if it was a boy, she was going to name it Ian. If it was a girl, she was going to name it Casey. And like I said, they were so frugal, or at least Keith was, and he, you know, exhibited that to, just being frugal, basically saving all their damn money. Like me, I'm like, let's just spend it.
I mean, I'm like weird. I'm kind of in between.
Yeah, it's like I'm either
going to
binge. Certain
things I'll be like, yeah, I'll buy it. Other things I'm like, I'm not spending $20 on a shirt. Bye. But you know what I mean?
I'll burn up some food, but I ain't
gonna. I know.
But I'll think about like spending stuff on stuff we actually need, you know?
Right, exactly.
So,
it's so weird.
And at this point in time in 1987, Ina was becoming like really bad with crime. I'm talking, and you've seen how small it was, but right. in that little short time frame, 15 people were murdered.
What?
Which
what
is a lot.
What was the time frame?
1987.
Okay, 80 to 87. Wow.
Like 15 people was murdered. And then also, this is what kind of got them in the mode of wanting to get out of Ina. Shortly before their murders, a 10-year-old girl was raped and murdered, and that kind of fucked Keith up.
Oh,
he's like,
oh shit. So like that changes everything.
Yeah. So Keith was like,
creepy. They're about to get out.
Yeah. He's like, I want to get the fuck out of here. This place is crazy.
And then they got
listen. So he's like, calls, you know, cause he's real close to his mom who still lived in Mount Vernon. His parents were divorced, but he still talked to him, you know, and he was just telling her like they decided they wanted to get out of Ina because the crime was just out of control, you know, the 10-year-old girl that got murdered. It shook him up. Like, bad. Somebody, a stranger, came and knocked on their door one night to use their phone, and Keith would not let her use it. He's like, bye, bitch. Down the road. You ain't coming to my fucking trailer.
I've seen movies like that before where they have, like, a decoy.
Yeah.
You know
and
what
he,
I mean? And then
right.
Like, whenever you're least expecting it, they're like, ah, gotcha, motherfucker.
Right. So, he ended up telling his mom, like, he told her, like, he regretted moving to Ina. It was the worst mistake he did. He wants to be back home. He never exaggerated. He never told why he felt that way. He just was expressing that to his mother. But it just shook him. I think that murder is what kind of got hit, you know, the kind of got the fire in his step to be like, I got to get the hell out of here for my kids.
Right.
And it's just, it's sad when you think about what is about to unfold. And I will say, warning again, if you are very sensitive to violent crimes and murder against children or murder against women or murder against people, this is not the episode for you.
Well, you shouldn't be listening to this at all.
Right. Because it's bad. Like, he was so freaked out about Ina. Like, he's told his mom he's ready to just pack up and leave without even having to find a job.
Wow.
Yeah, like,
he was that done.
Yeah, it was just violent. And this is also around the same time that this dude named, or this kid named Thomas Odell in Mount Vernon, he was on PCP, and he ended up individually killing everybody in his family. Like, when they walked in the house, he shot and killed him. So, that pretty much fucked up Keith, too.
Right. Okay, so that also happened in Ina?
Around about the time that, yeah. So, Keith never missed work. Like, he was, like, a very consistent person. Showed up when he was supposed to be there. Did the things he was supposed to do. So, when he didn't show up on November 18th, 1987, his work thought it was strange. And they called him and called him all day. And, of course, no answer. So they ended up calling, the supervisor ended up calling both of Keith's parents. Well, Keith's father answered Don Dardeen. And he ended up calling the Jefferson County Sheriff and basically told them, please, you're going to check on my son. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. You know, just go check on him. And finally, the cops actually meet Don there because he had a key. And they end up getting to the house and going in. So their house was located, but like right on Route 37, like right on the highway.
Now, is this still the trailer they're living in, or are they living in a different?
Yeah, this spot? Is the trailer. This is okay. The trailer. It was right off the highway. And inside, and when they got inside, they found the most gruesome scene that they had even still to this day still talk about. So again, warning. When his father entered. They found Elaine, Peter, and a newborn baby girl all tucked in bed with the blanket over them. So at first when they walked in, all they seen was stuff under the bed.
Like
when
they were placed there.
Yeah. When they pulled back the covers, to their surprise, they found Elaine had been found bound, gagged with duct tape. And, of course, they're all three on the bed. The baby, which was the newborn, mm-hmm. was
also... Do you know how far along she was?
She was about 8 months.
Okay, so she was there. Yeah, okay.
So, okay. She, Elaine, Peter, the two-year-old, and the new baby was in the bed with her. And they were mm-hmm. all deceased. Elaine had been beaten so bad that she gave birth. And they beat the baby, the newborn, too, to death.
Oh, God.
And then they beat the two-year-old also to death with a bat that Peter had got for his birthday just a couple months prior. I mean brutally.
How long is that? Would that take? Like,
I have no idea.
To beat someone to where they go into labor, like, is it just like an like instant like that, or
it could she could have actually, yeah, it could have been a number of things.
I mean,
could have been,
it had to have been within enough time for them to be there and see the baby and then beat the fucking goddamn.
Yeah. So at first they're like, so Keith and his car are missing, and they had a red 1981 Plymouth. They thought Keith did this shit at first.
I know. I was about to say.
They pulled up SWAT at his mother's house.
Whenever
you
said he wasn't there, I was like,
And Keith went wild. Yeah. So they pulled up SWAT at his parents' house and everything. And then the search was soon called off later, because later that day, Keith's body was found in a wheat field not far from the trailer. Just south of Jefferson County line. Near Wren Lake College. He was shot 3 times in the head. His penis was severed, and it was rumored that they put his penis in his mouth. The car...
Which part was rumored?
Just the penis in the mouth. Like, everybody I've heard, that's what they've said.
But it was severed.
It was severed. The car that they had, which was the 1981 Plymouth, was found parked in front outside of a police station in Benton, Illinois, 11 miles from the Dardeen home, with blood everywhere in it.
Their car?
Their car in front of a police station.
Now, are they sure the dad didn't have something to do with it?
Yes,
I know, but like...
Like, he shot 3 times. You can't shoot yourself 3 times in the head.
No, I'm not saying he shot himself. I'm saying, like... Could, like, did they ever think that, like, maybe it was some, like, a murder for hire, and then he went to go pay the person that he hired to murder them, and then maybe he didn't have enough money, or maybe they got into some sort of argument, and then in turn that guy killed him?
Could be. We don't know. I mean, we do know a little bit, but...
I don't know. I don't know why that theory just, like, popped into my head.
It could be. It's a good possibility.
You know, because, like, there's not really any explaining why they would have taken him somewhere. You know, like, you
right.
think, like, if they took the wife or something, it might have been, like, a sexually or charged crime, or...
I'll get some theories when I get done. So, okay. These murders basically rocked this fucking community. Like, people were buying guns left and right.
They were already rocked, but this probably rocked them.
Right. I mean, people was, like, literally not... wanting to sleep. They were scared. I mean, of course, police let rumors go wild because, you know, that's how it is in a town like that. And basically, two coroners came in to, you know, view the bodies. And the two coroners argued because one thought Keith had died of a head injury, and the other thought, or a head injury and being shot. And then one thought he died from being dragged by a car. So we're talking about sustainable amount of injuries to the face, head, and
everywhere. In addition to being shot.
In addition to being shot. So.
Okay. Yeah.
It just seems like overkill to me towards him. All of them. Like all of them got overkill. That's why to.
Seems personal.
Yeah. But everybody said, who knew Keith and Elaine, said that they were the nicest people. They never had an ill word to say about anybody. They were sweet. They never got in anybody's business. They minded their own business. They never bothered anybody. Like, they just said that that's just how they were. So the police joined with the state police to try to solve the crime. And they had actively 30 detectives working on this case, interviewing hundreds of people. A man from Keith's work, people were saying it was him because he had an altercation with Keith, but he was cleared, and that's all I heard on that.
Did they think it was like a drifter, or do they think it was like someone that lived in the town?
They wasn't sure. So the coroners put the time of death and hour within each other. Autopsy found no drugs and alcohol, but there was a small bag of weed found in the Dardine house. But there's no drugs or nothing was in their system. So that led the police to think that maybe that was the killers. Or it could have been theirs.
It was probably theirs. I mean, even though they didn't have it in their system at the time, sometimes people like have weed, but they don't like necessarily smoke it every day. They just like have it put away. Right. I'm saying some people, not myself, obviously. But you know what I mean? Like, just
yeah, I get what you're saying.
It could have been theirs, right? Or yeah, or it could have been.
I thought the same thing. Like,
can't nobody the killer just leave their bag of weed there? Oh, I killed these people. Let me leave my bag of weed. Like, I would take that with me.
Right. And why would people just literally have weed and not use it or smoke it? I mean, well, I don't know.
I mean, some people have to be in a certain mood to do it, or
yeah,
they do it if they can't sleep, or.
Or, you know, also, I mean,
they don't do it on a regular basis, but if they like really need it for something, pain, whatever.
So the bodies in the trailer were killed 12 hours before they was found. Keith had been dead 24 to 36 hours when he was found.
So hold on. Are they saying, does that mean that he was found later than them? So he wasn't killed before them?
No.
He was killed after them.
He was killed after them. So a lot of people, well, I'll get into that. So resolving the question made it harder to know how the crime happened, because Keith's body was found away from the trailer. He was killed away from the trailer in a different location than with his family. They took their time at the trailer. Also, the killer or killers, because they were tucked in the bed, all three of them.
Right, yeah.
And there was signs of a cleanup, and the police theorized it could have probably happened at night. More than likely, and because it's on a set, you know, a main road, Route 37, and it's a busy highway. The back door was left open. There was no forced entry. Tons of valuables were laid out, so this was not a robbery. It says that Elaine had not been raped or sexually assaulted, but then I think she had a baby. How are you going to know?
That's true.
So they said that there was no proof of any
affair. I guess unless they did like, you know, a swab and they didn't find any male DNA.
Yeah, but
on her or in her.
He could have wore a condom, or they. So the back door was left open, which, you know. There was no forced entry, tons of valuables, yet none of them were taken. And Elaine had not been raped or sexually assaulted. But, you know, I thought, why, you know, how can they know that without, you know, she gave birth. So there could have been beforehand. She could have been raped so bad that she gave birth.
Yeah, but I feel like they would have had to been wearing a condom. I feel like they would have found, like, DNA.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And possibly, I mean, like, really, if you think about it, she was probably under so much stress watching her son get beat or.
Well, yeah. Maybe. Hopefully, she didn't have to watch that. Hopefully, she got beat first.
What would
I know that sounds horrible, but I'm just right, saying, like, hopefully, I know. She didn't have to watch her child suffer.
Right. There were scorecards there. So, of course, everybody's like, he's a gambler. It's a mob hit. Mob hits typically don't take out women and children. Like
scorecards. What do you mean?
Like, it's like bookie shit. Like, kind of. Oh, like, okay. I guess. That's what I'm guessing.
Well, I mean, either that or somebody, he owed somebody money, maybe.
But then again, though, he was so frugal with his money that marks that out. His mother said he would have never.
If he was frugal with. Oh, okay, so are you saying that, like, the people who committed this murder left these scorecards behind?
Or no, he probably had them, but was probably not in a gambling way. Maybe one time, you know, it wasn't a bunch of them.
Okay, listen, if he's known to be like frugal, why would he? Frugal people don't gamble their money.
Well, I don't think it was a lot of gambling. I think it was just they found them and they was trying to latch on to anything. I mean, you might find a fucking dollar lottery ticket around here, but doesn't mean I go out and I spend, you know, all my money on dollar, you know. Every now and then, you get. That's probably how it was. They're just grasping.
I just know how gambling is.
Oh yeah, that
shit, fucking go downhill quickly.
I wonder how much money they. I should have figured that out, but I didn't find anything about it. About how much money they had saved up already for the college, because that could have been a motive right there.
Were they in any sort of debt?
No. No debt. No enemies that could be, I mean, there's one, clearly, but,
Who?
Yeah. I mean, whoever killed him, that's who their enemy was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in 1999, we've talked about this guy before. There was a serial killer who came and said, you know, hey, it was me that did it. Tommy Lynn Sells. He was the same one.
Oh, not that guy again. From Darlie Routier.
He was the same one because his MO was he was actually an hour away from Ina around the same time.
Really?
Yeah. He was actually like an hour away.
I wonder if he's in my encyclopedia, but I can't look it up because I don't have an index for it. So
you just got to go through it. But he had said in 1999 that when he got arrested, he was just, after he was arrested and got sentenced to death, he started just telling the people that he remembered murder. See, Tommy Lynn Sells was abused really bad as a child, like really bad, brutally. And so he used that to say that's why he did what he did. And sometimes he would black out and murder people. And sometimes he'd wake up with blood all over him and not realize how or why he did things.
Norman Bates.
Right. Crazy ass motherfucker. So then he said that. He said, in his version of events, he said that he ran into Keith at a Mount Vernon gas station, and Keith invited him back to the house, and basically...
why would he invite him back to the house?
Basically, he said Keith invited him back to the house to propose they have a threesome, and that, listen, and that he was so pissed because... They shared a room because it was a one-bedroom trailer. They shared a room with their kid. It made Tommy Lynn Sells feel like he was a child again getting molested. So
he decided to kill the kid?
He killed everybody. He said he killed the kid. Well, you got to think. He got caught because he literally broke into somebody's house on New Year's Eve, slit a little kid's throat.
Oh, I know. That girl that survived was on I Survived.
Yeah,
I've seen that episode before.
Me too. So, yeah.
No, I'm not saying that, like, that, you know, that he didn't do that. I'm just.
Oh, no, I know what you mean.
I'm like, just trying to, like, think, like, oh, I was abused as a child, so I'm getting triggered because there's a child here. So instead, I'm going to take it out on the child. Like,
and he said that he did that because he didn't want the kid growing up without his parents.
Oh, okay. That's,
but you just killed him. You stupid mother.
That's really nice that he did that for that kid.
Joey,
I'm sure everyone in the family was glad that he made that decision for them.
Right. Joanne which is Keith's mom, said that she believed that he was a killer because he did know some things that the police did not release. And he was the type of person that would jump on railroad tracks, ride a track into a town. He was a carny. He traveled with them. He has literally killed a lot of people, he said. Some he don't even remember doing.
Is there any evidence that, like, would lead the police to believe that
he's the main suspect?
Well, I'm saying, like, was there anything that would lead them to believe that Keith and Elaine were, like, into threesomes and that story could be corroborated?
No, but he was the closest one they ever got to talk to because his story changed a couple different ways. So at one point, he said...
He was never charged with it, I'm assuming.
No, and he got sentenced to death after that, so he got sentenced to death.
Why was he never charged for it?
Because he changed his story and they didn't have enough evidence.
The story didn't line up.
Yeah, but he knew things. This is why he's still the number one suspect, is because he knew things that only the police knew. About what?
Like
certain,
or do you know
certain things? I don't know specifically, but they just said he knew things that the police knew about the case that they didn't ever release. So they released, and then did you know Oprah Winfrey and all them would not even touch this case because it was too brutal? Like, his mom tried to get everybody to, but then finally America's Most Wanted did it, a watered-down version of what happened.
Watered down.
Because a lot of people couldn't take the whole them being brutally beat to death with a bat.
Right.
And then this goes to my story, you know, what you said. What if it was random? Like, that girl checking, you know, coming by to be on the phone. But then why wouldn't they steal nothing? So, and then what about the aggressive nature that how he died? Shot 3 times, dick cut off, put in his mouth, supposedly, the mouth part. But
being
why?
Dragged and shit.
Yeah, so what could they have done that was so brutal to make this happen? What could they have done?
I don't know. Like, I'm still going back to the Keith knows. Well, obviously, not know more than what he says because he hasn't said anything because he's dead. But like,
but also, why would
that Keith... could have been a murder for hire, and maybe something happened when he went to go pay the guy. Because usually, for murder for hires, they give like half before and half after it's done.
Yeah, but like, they were happily married. Like, it wasn't no...
I know, I get that, but... What about life insurance policies? Were there life insurance policies?
Normal ones, nothing that was...
Nothing crazy?
Crazy. So, that's why it was, like, leading towards either it was random, like somebody picked him up, or it was somebody they knew. Like, somebody came and by there. Because he would not even let a girl into the house to call, you know, because...
Okay, yeah, I didn't even think of that.
So why would he pick up a strange-ass man and bring him home to his...
Right, no, no. You know what happened? If it was Tommy Lynn Sells, I bet it was something like he just stumbled upon their fucking... Because you said it was right off the highway, right?
Yeah.
He stumbled upon the fucking trailer, went in...
He did the same thing before to the two girls. He stumbled on their trailer, broke right into their window, fucking killed
now,
them.
Now, did he have, like, did he, I don't know much about him, per se, but did he, Tommy Lynn Sells, did he have, like, a specific type of victim he would always go after, or was it just anybody and everybody?
Anybody. Mostly kids. And
Had he killed, like, grown men before?
I don't know.
Or, like, families or anything like that?
Yeah, he busted in and an 11-year-old and a fucking 10-year-old girl.
Well,
but
no,
he knew them.
Like, I mean, like, a mother, father, child. Like, or was there any murders like that?
Not yet, but I think we need to do a podcast show on him because I think it would be interesting. But he didn't, I think he knew the people that was, you know, that trailer where he went in and tried to kill those two girls.
Yeah,
he actually knew them, and he knew they wasn't gonna that one of the dad the somebody was
wasn't
not gonna be there.
Wasn't gonna
yeah,
be home. Yeah,
yeah. So he would get blackout drunk, he said, and then that's when all his demons would come out. Like, he said, he never killed sober; he was always like blackout drunk.
Or what if back to my murder for hire gone wrong plot? What if Keith was his name, Dardine, mm-hmm, father? What if Keith took this whole crime spree that was happening in Ina, Illinois at the time. Illinois. Is it Illinois or Illinois?
I always do the same thing.
I feel like I go back and forth with it. Like, sometimes I say Illinois sometimes. I don't know. If you're from Illinois, write us and let us know how to say it.
Right, because we don't know.
what if he took that as, like, an opportunity to get his murder for hire plot and think that he could get away with it because there was such a heavy crime spree that was going on in the town at the time?
I would say possibly not, because he wanted to be the fuck out of there. And he made that vocal.
He wanted people to think that he wanted to get out of there. See, I'm doing what you were doing on the Cheshire episode. like, now, hold on.
Right.
I'm over here like, I don't know about this dad.
Right. Because, I mean, that was logical. Yeah. Like, the dad was the only one that only got his head busted in. But this motherfucker was dead.
Yeah. But, I mean, do you think that he got it worse or than, like, his family did?
Yeah, he was shot.
Well,
he could have been dragged.
He got his dick cut off. But I'd rather get shot than be fucking beat to death with a baseball bat.
You're hit one time and you're unconscious. That's it. It's over with. The rest of it's for show, buddy. You get hit one good time, your skull.
If they hit you in the head first, I mean, they could hit you, like, beat you in the body. Then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Give you the final blow to the head just to make you suffer more. Because, you know, people that commit murders, obviously, like to see people suffer. So
that's true. But also that train killer that was going around on the back in the 99, he got caught. I can't think of his name off the top of hand. He was also one of the people they thought too, because there were railroad tracks by them. So, and I actually ran into him.
You don't know his name?
No, but they talked about him.
Let me see if I can find
the railroad track killer. Just look that up. It'll tell you. I'll never forget it.
Railroad track killer?
Mm-hmm.
Angel Mottarino Resendez? Is that
him? Yeah. Yeah, that's him.
Okay. Angel Mottarino Resendez. I think I said that right. I don't know. But
yeah.
Did they ever rule him out, I guess?
No. I'm not sure. This is unsolved. So there's that.
And Tommy Lynn Sells is dead now, right?
Yeah. So his mother still thinks they did, like, an updated episode. And this case just started getting traction again this year. Remember? Because it was one of the Dardines. This is one of our top three that I was going to do. Do you remember when we made our first list?
Yeah.
I was like, I keep hearing about, I've never heard of this one before. This is why I wanted to do it. And then as I started looking into it, it started driving me crazy. Let's theorize on some other ways it could be. You got to think, they was beat uncontrollably. How do you think it went down? Do you think the killer got into the house and then killed them in front of Keith? Because that could be more painful.
What time were their bodies discovered?
On November 18th of 1987.
No, like, what time of day was it?
I'm pretty sure it had to be
in like the morning,
late afternoon, like maybe
afternoon time, because he hadn't showed up for work.
Yeah.
So, and at that time, they said he had been dead for how long?
They didn't find him then. They found him next day.
Did they say how long that the others were dead?
When they were dead, almost 12 hours.
12 hours. Okay. So
to happen the night before.
Yeah, that would place it to be about probably if it was noon. So 12 hours before would have been midnight.
Right.
So it was at nighttime, obviously. So it could have been a drifter that just passed their trailer and saw a light on, or maybe not saw a light on, maybe saw the lights off.
Yeah, thought that they could see the nice swing set they had outside for Peter. Because they had a nice, and their car was in the front. There's pictures of it.
There was no sexual assault to the child, right?
No.
Okay.
No sexual.
Nothing. I was going to say, maybe if like they saw that swing set out there, they knew, you know what I mean? If it was like a sexually motivated crime.
For, I guess we wouldn't know, but it wouldn't make sense. That could be a really good start point, because if you think about it, they could have seen the swing set outside. They could have got in thinking that, you know, it's a kid, and then maybe they tried to fight off and lost, and then he beat them all in front of Keith and then took Keith somewhere. But this is where I think is crazy, okay? They parked the fucking car at the police station with blood all in it. The balls on this motherfucker.
So what was Keith Dardine doing? That's what I'm wondering. What was he doing while his family was getting killed? Because he was obviously alive.
Maybe they held him. Until after,
you know what I mean? Like, you would think that he would try.
It had to be more than one killer.
More than one killer? Or
how can you control a man?
I don't know. I'm just thinking in, like, you know, normal society that, like,
a man. You froze.
And would not sit there, even if had a fight, and if their wife and children were, lives were at, you know, stake, they would try to fight and save them instead of just complying and watching them get beat to death.
So I'm thinking,
unless he was behind the whole entire thing.
Or unless they took and killed him first, like Tommy Lynn Sells said he did, and then he went back and killed them.
Oh, that's what Tommy said he did?
Tommy said that he took him and killed him and then went back because he had tied up Elaine and gagged her, and she really was tied up and gagged. You could tell. So I think he was killed first, and then they went back and killed them. So what would make somebody hurt, want to do that to a whole family?
Obviously not money.
Obviously not money. So what could it have been? Pride? They were nice.
Someone, it could have been a serial killer, like we, you know, said earlier. Someone who just was looking for someone to kill, and it was a random crime. I really don't buy the whole, we were going to have a threesome and he took me back to his house. You know, given how you were talking about him being so scared of, like, not letting someone use the phone.
Right.
A woman at that, you know.
Yeah, that's true. It's crazy to me. I don't know what to think. It's like, I want to say it was somebody. It could have been somebody they knew, but then somebody they knew would have known how much money they had. I thought at first maybe it was somebody that wanted the college fund money because they knew he was saving a bunch of money.
Do you know how much was in the fund?
No, it never says. It never said. He was just always, I'm saving for college. Like, anytime somebody, that's what he was known for. Like, they'd be like, there he is out there saving for college. The kid's fucking too. Like, calm down, sir.
Or, well, here it goes again. Okay, what if he told everybody, oh, I'm saving for college, but he really wasn't saving for college, and instead he was gambling that money away, and he had a secret gambling problem that he told his wife, I'm taking this money and saving it for college, wink, wink. You know what I mean? Do you get what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, and maybe his wife and everyone else thought that he was saving for college, but was there
but I'm pretty a college sure.
fund that was actually found, that this was corroborated?
I'm pretty sure. My mind's just going everywhere right now. I know, but I'm pretty sure if that was the case, they would have said that. You know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure.
If there wasn't actually a
right
college fund.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me because it drives me, like, this is going to be another one that's probably going to be like, well, because it could have went any different. It could be anything. It could be random. It could be somebody they know.
Now, do you have any more information on the coworker dude?
No, just that they had a disagreement. But you're not going to have a fucking go kill a whole family over a disagreement.
What was the disagreement about? Was it something serious or like something petty?
I don't know. I just don't, I don't know, honestly. Like, I think it could be, I think you're pretty much onto something about the whole gambling thing. But I'm pretty sure also that if they didn't find a college fund, that would have been suspicious too. And they would have brought that up probably somewhere along the line.
Maybe. It just all depends on what their assets were after.
No, because they had to investigate the gambling front and they never found nothing else. Okay. So that's probably why that's vetted out.
Yeah.
So if it's not gambling, it's not an affair. They've been high school sweethearts since, you know, high school. They've been in love since they were younger. So there's no other, there's nobody else. At least to anybody's knowledge. And I don't see somebody going that fucking crazy. Killing him, yeah. But killing the whole fucking family, well, I don't know. Making him watch the whole family, I can see some crazy bitches right. doing that. But that's, you know, typically a woman's not going to murder a whole.
Oh, no, I wouldn't think.
This don't feel womanly at all.
If it was, then she would have had to have an accomplice, probably.
Oh, yeah, somebody. Yeah, definitely an accomplice. It's crazy.
We're going to get hate from all the feminists now. You don't think a woman could kill someone like a man could?
But, yeah. So, that was the story of the Dardeen murder. So, yay.
Will Dardeen.
Oh, God. People are going to really hate us now. But you have to lighten that up. Like, how do you fucking talk about a child murder? Two children murdered brutally.
Toddler/infant.
Like, really? Who in their right fucking mind could kill a baby like that?
Just beat it
to death?
Has to be someone. It has to be a fucking serial killer or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, will we ever know? We don't have the answer here, so.
This is an unsolved crime, so if you know anything about the Dardeen murders, I think you need to call the authorities and tell them.
Yeah.
And this happened back in 1987, so they have to be.
It's a cold case now, so they probably don't really have anybody actively working on it.
Right. I tried to look up, you know, autopsy stuff, and you couldn't find any of that information. What do you think happened to the Dardeens? Shoot us an email at easykiller@gmail.com. Also, follow us.
It's actually easykillerpodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, yes. easykillerpodcast@gmail.com. And you can find us on Instagram, Easy Killer Podcast, Facebook, Easy Killer Podcast, and TikTok, Easy Killer Podcast.
TikTok.
And
we got a website coming soon.
And we got a website coming soon. And we also have merch, which will be linked to everything, those places. Yeah,
find us on Instagram, and the link is in our bio. If you want to buy a really cool t-shirt, because they're really cool.
Thank you for tuning in to Easy Killer, and be on the lookout for next week's episode.
Dun, dun, dun.
Goodbye.